there's something really like a big crisis right now. It's not crisis for us.
Dance department.
Backstage, Dennis Ryer.
So we're in with a bang. It's a dance department backstage, and I'm hanging out with my friends Lucas and Steve. Guys, a warm welcome.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
Episode number one, dance department backstage. All things music behind the scenes. That is actually what it is. So it's a pleasure to have you guys on board.
Big honor.
Definitely.
We're the first, right?
So and this is a very safe COVID-19. We have a 1.5 meter distance between each other, so that's good to start off. So guys, how has it been for you in the last couple of months? It's like COVID is ruling the planet. No festivals, almost no gigs. How do you guys survive constantly in the studio, or what's happening? What's going on?
Well, of course, in the beginning, it's pretty weird to experience a period where you're at home and during the weekends. That hasn't happened for like the past 5 years or so. So that's something definitely to get used to. However, we actually started to, you know, even dive deeper into our productions than we already did. So we're coming up with an album this year that was already scheduled for later this year. So we're just going to release it anyway. Apart from that, we've got so much more music coming in different genres and everything. So we're producing a lot, and we actually love that.
Yeah, we actually love it. It's so good to be in the studio. It's such a great environment to create something. Like for instance, we normally re-record vocals or we record guitars in just one way, on the easy way, because we're very busy with touring. And now you have time to just record guitars on 10 different ways, which is really, really nice for your creativity. And that's what you really enjoy. That's what we really enjoy at the moment.
So you can experiment a bit more than normally, because you have just more time on your hands too.
True.
Hey, what did this plug in? It can also do like, hey, this.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Exactly.
And it's your like a 10-year anniversary almost, right? You started working together in 2009, 2010, what was it?
I think
something
so.
Like
something like, I think we're around working for the 10th year. We're close at least.
We're close,
I think 2K10, yeah. So this must be kind of our 10th year. But I mean, that's not the time that we're doing it full time. So we're in doubt whether we will be celebrating something this year.
I mean, the album.
It's not really. Yeah, okay. But I mean, besides that, it's not really the year for celebrations. It's not the best year for the world so far. So
let's skip 2020.
Let's do that.
The only thing is that we're really looking forward to. Like, obviously, touring is a lot of fun, but we finished a lot of new music and we've been to the studio for a very, very long time now. So all the 10 years are going to be on the album. So that's a thing that we're really, really looking forward to.
Yeah. So musically wise, the album, what can we expect?
You can expect a collection of the music we've been making for the past 2 years. I think that like a lot of stuff that we've been doing like 2 years ago is already out there, but there are still so many projects that we came across and that we started on the road that we thought it would be a great idea to finally just compile it into an album. Most of the we've been very involved with also the songwriting of the album. We started kind of everything from scratch, and I think that's
that's just fun. Like we've been in so many countries and in so many different places that it's giving you a lot of like creativity to work on new things and try new things. So on the album there is a lot of different kind of vibes that we, not obviously the obviously Lucas and Steve vibe, but still it's like totally different. And probably 12 tracks that are brand new. So we started in Stockholm, we started in Los Angeles, we started in UK and in London. We did so many great sessions with great people. So that's what you probably going to hear on the album.
Yeah. One of your last hits, this one, Letters. A big radio smash already. What is the story behind this track?
The story behind this track is we started this with Harris. He's also the guy singing on Perfect, and we wrote it together with him and Adrian, who we also wrote Perfect with. And I mean, we're like Perfect is the previous track that went pretty big for us and did a lot of good stuff for us. So we figured it would be a good idea to, you know, just get together again and see whether we can, you know, do something this time without a sample, just start from scratch and do something cool, do something different from what we've done so far. And I mean, Letters has got this folkish vibe around it that we really like. Also in here, you can hear a lot of acoustic instruments giving it, yeah, a little bit of a folky and a very poppy vibe.
It's a bit of a campfire song,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
We
absolutely.
Go out with scouting, Letters, campfire,
actually,
a big bottle of vodka.
Especially the vodka.
And that's actually what the whole song is about, you know, especially in times like these where everybody is kind of locked up globally because of COVID-19. We thought this track to, you know, just be a really good one for this time because this one is about creating those new memories. And I think everybody's just thrilled to go out and
making new memories.
Well, I have the same because I saw a little movie from a festival from a year ago, something like that. I thought it was Fisher playing, and I saw this crowd like 10,000 of people, you know, waving and screaming and having the time of their life. I was like, oh man, fuck, I miss this, man. I miss this vibe of enjoying the music together with everyone.
Everybody, you know, has those
and
that feeling,
and it's growing. It's growing. It's like we will have an eruption of, you know, when we can get back into the festival soil again.
We received a lot of reactions on this track, and we made a teaser on our Instagram account, and then we saw people who send us movies of our Tomorrowland set, of our set on Never See, like big festivals in Europe, and we're like, we're in the studio together. We're like, oh, dude, we're missing those times, and hopefully it's over very soon because we want to play all the new stuff. We want to play the new album. We want to drop all those singles and just create new memories with the fans and with the audience.
Who are the people who inspired you guys when making the album? Do you have like certain people who you look up to production-wise, musically?
Yeah, well, actually, there are a lot of people who make really, really good music. Like for instance, I have to say the new Kygo album is really, really good. I like the sound that he did and all the tracks that he put on the album is really, really good. But there is, like, we listen to a lot of different music. Like, we listen to pop music, Justin Bieber, from Justin Bieber to...
I love this track with Ariana Grande.
It's, yeah, totally. Like, and I have to say, the Lady Gaga track with Ariana Grande is amazing. That's one of my favorites at the moment. But
definitely.
Still, we also listen to, for instance, Ludovico Einaudi to, like, that's like
on the plane to chill out a bit.
Yeah, to chill out. And we listen to jazz, we listen to pop, we listen to classical music. It's just the vibe and the mood that you're in, and that's where you get your how do you say
your inspiration from and the good vibes.
Yeah, and the good vibes.
Also, you know, it's also we listen to so much music, as Steve's saying, but what we want to accomplish with the album is, I mean, of course we're DJs, but besides DJs, we're also producers, and we really want to, you know, create, well, I mean, the bridge has already been created between pop and dance, but that's something artists who do that, that's artists that we would love to identify ourselves with. And then you can think of Calvin Harris, for example. He's done that a lot of times.
He's a boss.
Definitely. Never forget Avicii, of course, for doing that in the beginning. And also if you listen to Letters, for example, you can, there are some similarities, you know, if you look at the blend between pop and dance. But producers like that are, you know, people that we really get inspired by, and it's never that you know, really try to copy something, but we analyze the shit out of everything.
Yeah, true.
Put it in the spectrum analyzer.
Definitely, yeah. And then try to make it into our own, yeah.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, and Avicii paved the way, of course, with a lot of other artists.
Definitely.
That's funny. I was listening last night to a compilation. It's called Late Night Tales. I don't know if you guys know it, but then they ask, for example, the guys from the French band Air. They made All I Need and Kelly Watch the Stars, the kind of tracks. What are your inspiration tracks when you were young, before you were creating music? And then you get an album and it goes from classical to movie music to, an 80s song by Japan. So if I would ask you guys, Lucas and Steve, okay, name a few tracks that like destined your way into music. What are like two or three or four tracks that really got your mind like, wow, one day I want to make music and maybe be as good as this, because this is amazing. What are your all-time favorites?
That's a really good question, actually.
I think there's quite a lot, and maybe also some different ones for the both of us. I know that there's a couple ones that we definitely have in common, like Eric Prydz's Piano is
that's
all-time dance anthem of my life.
The first time I heard that track, I almost started crying, because that was so good. I think that's one of the best tracks ever made on dance music.
It's so good, yeah.
It's really, really good. It's actually pretty simple, but that makes the whole track like the biggest. Yeah. I think that the piano sound,
difficult to top.
Difficult to top.
Really, yeah.
Actually, it's not. You cannot top it, because
He also did a track for his daughter, Lei Jiang.
Oh, yeah. I used to
like 2 days ago. Yeah. Also one of my favorites after a few years.
Yeah, well,
because I just got a baby girl, of course. Maybe a bit more sensitive in my heart for the last few weeks.
Congrats. Yeah.
And besides dance music, is it like a pop classic that you really, or maybe a country track or another track that you were really into when you were young, that you can remember?
Oh, wow.
One of the first things you heard on the radio when you were like a little boy.
Wow. I mean, you know we're Dutch, right? So it's all about dance music from when you know.
Yeah, true.
When you leave your mom's womb.
Yeah,
dance music.
I'm a 70s kid, so I started with soul and funk is a big heritage for me, and hip hop as well. And there's so much good music around.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, I think the first album I bought was something completely different. It was some Linkin Park album or something.
Also,
Hardcore Never Dies Part 1.
Yeah. No, something completely different, but that was really cool stuff. And Limp Bizkit, that's the stuff I listened to in primary school. But you know something, and that's dance again, but that really caught my attention also because I've been playing the drums since I was 5. It's a Safri Duo, Play the Life.
Yeah,
it's a dance
the
track.
Song.
If I think of, the stuff I listened to when I was younger, that's more like this stuff.
That track was so brilliant because it sounds so simple, but for people to reproduce it, it's almost impossible. Well, I have the same with the Good Man, Give It Up.
One of the big Dutch classics.
You know, it's Chocolate Puma, right?
Yeah, of course. They did like Ski and Dorman. They also did like this Valet de L'Arme track that I have on vinyl on Fresh Fruit Recordings.
Yeah. Actually, that was one of the tracks that it was on the, I think it's called the It's CD.
Yeah.
My father had it back then.
Really?
And yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so
your father, he was clubbing.
He was clubbing when I started making music. So but I grew up with. You were talking about the 70s. I grew up with a lot of funk and soul, like Kool & the Gang, Earth, Wind & Fire, that kind of stuff. Because my parents were like totally in it and
timeless.
It's timeless. So I grew up with more that kind of stuff, which is really cool, and I still listen to it and I still love it. But it's difficult to blend it with something that's with Lucas and Steve. But we try to make it.
Like, although I think the old It compilation albums, if you go through the track list, maybe you'll find a nice sample somewhere else.
Well, we did a lot of samples, so maybe skip this one.
Yeah. And you also work for different artists.
Yeah. Well, COVID-19.
There's something in the pipeline, maybe somewhere.
Well, no, it's just like we love to make different kinds of music, like all genres, and it's nice to get your creativity out of something different. So when you're in the studio, like all the time, we're not touring now, so you have a lot of time in the studio to create something very different. So we're going to the studio with blanco ideas and with blanco, and then we start making music and starting from scratch.
Just create something.
So on a summer day, it can be a bubbling beat. On a rainy day, it can be a more progressive beat.
We did something kind of bubbling, like more of the, like J Balvin style, and that's what we like to produce. And we also did something kind of funky-ish with nice guitars, it's R&B tracks.
It's just something really different than
what we love to do.
It can be anything, and it's something we've been doing for a long time already, but now we finally have got the time. It kind of feels a little bit like
and
that.
The studio,
like you finally
and the studio,
found the time to do that.
You just showed me a picture of the studio.
Yeah.
It's like a control room in Star Wars. I'm Chewbacca, and this is the control room. That's how I'm feeling, with great speakers by PMC.
The fun part is that that's actually the second studio. first one's even sicker. But
you guys are so spoiled.
I mean, to be honest, this is something we decided after, you know, it was clear that a lot of countries were in lockdown. We were like, yeah, we're going to be in the studio for a long time. Yeah. So better if you're going to invest in something, invest in your studio, because that's where you're going to be at for the, I don't know how many years now. Let's stick to months, but but I mean, so that's something we did on purpose. We upgraded the studio so we can, you know, both work simultaneously on really high pace, and that's already paying off like since week one. So
and it's just fun. Like Lucas is starting working on something totally different. I just finished something for the album, and then you can just swap the projects on Dropbox, and you're done. Like I'm starting working on the bubbling beat, and Lucas starts working on the R&B beat. So you just have like two studios where you can work.
So Lucas is having Beyonce to do some vocals, and you're in the other studio, and he's locking his door.
And then,
sorry, man, I have no time. I'm busy.
Not today, man, not today.
Were you there?
Sorry, yeah. I have a camera somewhere. I have a camera somewhere. That is nice. But you also bought a lot of analog equipment, right? Yeah. And just to invest.
Creating different sounds is also part of like buying something that. Like we worked with all the emulations, with plugins like TubeTech, PukeTech, everything, like SSL compressors.
But now it's time for the real deal.
Now it's time for the real
deal. We want the tubes.
We want tubes, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we have to say we bought the TubeTech SMC2B. It's a brilliant multiband compression. The SSL console.
Sorry, girls, now it's about...
Toys for Boys. Nerd time. No, and the SSL is just great. We bought the SSL Fusion. It's just a nice chain to just loop everything through. And nice mastering.
And don't forget the Juno. We bought the Juno synth.
And Lou for a love for the Junos and the Moogs.
Unbelievable. Yeah. They're unbelievable. Wow.
I think my daughter, she's like 7 weeks today. I think I'm going to buy her a Moog when she turns one.
Just for... That's a great gift, man.
Yeah, sure.
That'll be kind of funny. Hey, guys, on a more serious note, I spoke to Martin Garrix, Tomorrowland, and he had this little accident with his leg, with his feet.
Yeah.
And then he said to me, you know, this is actually the best thing that happened to me because, man, I was so freaking busy all the time.
Yeah.
And now I finally have some rest, you know, for my mind and my body. How is that for you guys? Because you are so passionate with music and you're living your dream. I also spoke with another good friend of mine, Sander Kleinenberg, about traveling and the not so nice parts of DJ life and produce life, because it also takes a big toll on your whole system. How is that for you guys?
I mean, we've fortunately so far never been in the position that we really felt we really had to take a break. Although, of course, if you've had your tour in December, we always go on holiday in January, then, you know, it can feel like a little bit of a relief when you've been touring like straight for weeks and weeks and weeks. But that's something different than, you know, what you know, a lot of big names have already complained about, but still something to keep in mind. But yeah, I mean, I have to admit that now we do have the time in the studio, you know, I'm definitely, as soon as we start touring again, we're both definitely going to miss being able to work on a project, get back to it the next
Take
day
your time.
And the day after, instead of
have
having
some good sleep.
To fly out to another place again. So that is something that we noticed right now. And if you would have asked me in advance, like, would you be willing to tour a little bit less? I'd be like, nah. It's all good. And right now I'm like,
Maybe Lucas can you know, educate himself with giving some yoga classes, you know, for you guys. in front of a mirror in a hotel room. Okay, let's do the downward dog, guys.
He would be really good.
Hey, I'm down for that, actually.
No, but actually, what Lucas said is very true. Like, we're not complaining, because touring is like a big part of our life, and we really love to see different places, but it can be hard. Like if you're doing 14 shows in like 14 days in China or wherever, then it can be tough. Like you don't have sleep, and this is actually the first time in 5 or 6 years that my body has like a certain rhythm. Like I can sleep from 11 till 10, and then I go to the studio, and that's like my day. And then I go to the studio from 10 till 5, and then I'm done. And that's my day. That's actually pretty nice. But normally like one day in the studio, back to the airplane, go to wherever, and then that's so different mm-hmm. than what we.
You need a good planning, right? To finish stuff if you're in the touring.
We never work on planning kind of stuff to finish it. But normally we like if you have a remix, then you have a deadline. You have to finish.
That sucks. That sucks.
Like a deadline always. Sucks always. Always. So yeah. So if you're mm-hmm. if we had like a full touring schedule. Then it will be very, very difficult to finish the album on the way that we're doing it right now.
So if Justin Bieber is calling today, guys, I need a remix, but I need it in 48 hours.
Then we're very, very able to do that.
now it's not a problem at all, if he would have asked this a year ago, it would have been a different story.
Now you have two studios, so you can...
it's really fun. Like, there's something really, like a big crisis right now, but actually we're not... it's not crisis for us because we really love to make music and we're able to finish our stuff in the studio. We're able to make music and that's something that is really, really important for us. If COVID-19 would take that away, like the making music part, then I think we would have a big, big crisis.
Yeah, if people will say, okay, you can get COVID-19 by playing beats, that would be a problem
that
for us.
That would be a big problem for us. Yeah. 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 No, but it's all fine for us. And I totally understand what Martin is saying.
Yeah. Yeah. You need to take some rest sometimes.
Yeah, you have to take some rest.
And do your yoga classes and
stuff.
Yeah,
and do your yoga classes and eat, sleep, not rave.
Eat, sleep, sometimes. Not yeah. drink too much every time.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I went touring with Sander Kleinenberg years ago, yeah. and he was playing like it was Friday night, Montreal, Canada, and then he started playing at 1 a.m. till 1 p.m. Mm-hmm. And then we went to the airport, and then we flew to New York at 5 p.m., and then we had the DJ there from midnight till the next day, 1 p.m. But those like monster sets are like... Yeah. Not happening anymore, right? Like 12 hours in a row.
We've never done one.
Just two Maybe. Hours, three Maybe. Hours. What is the ideal time for a DJ set for you guys?
For us?
2 or 3 hours?
Oh, 90 minutes.
I mean, it depends, probably. You know, sometimes it definitely depends on the crowd that you're having. Yeah. It also depends on the kind of music that you want to play. If you have the opportunity to build up stuff slowly, then 90 minutes is ideal. But sometimes at a festival, you just want to, you know, kick some ass. And it's better to do that if you can, you know, play for an hour just and give it maximum energy, because the curve of the energy in your set mm-hmm. will be just a little bit steeper when it's only 60 minutes. And that's kind of what our music and our set and the way we build it is kind of directed at.
You don't want to be in a position like you still have like 10 minutes left to play, and then, oh fuck, we need to play this track and this track and this,
this
track, and we need to end with...
That's fucked up.
Yeah, that's not, we don't want that.
I just had a new vodka. This is just not good, and we have only 10 minutes left.
This is my new drink, man. Come on.
Come on, yeah. keep me a few minutes longer here.
Yeah.
So you guys also flew in for Eric Pritz one day, right? You just told me, Lucas.
We've once been called in whether we could replace him, but the full story is that we couldn't, so that's... That's a bit of a bummer.
That's a bummer.
We were already booked for something else, but we did get the call.
I think he was late for Tomorrowland last year. Or was it 2 years ago? I'm not quite sure anymore.
Yeah.
He went by train.
Would be very nice because that time slot was really, really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we were not able to play there.
How do you prepare for the Tomorrowland set? Is that different, you know, energy-wise? Is it more...
Well, it's not different than other big festivals, but it's still like we really want to... Obviously you want to play a lot of new music and you want to have the 100% set that you have in mind. So obviously you have to look with your whole team, with the whole squad in the studio and just prepare the whole set. Also visual wise and everything. It has to, from A to Z, has to be perfect.
It's one of those festivals where you just know that kind of the whole world is watching. So it's kind of...
A bit more pressure.
It's kind of what your look will be for the upcoming time. And there's only a couple of festivals that actually achieve that.
And is it also for you guys a nice thing to play in a dark club without people knowing Lucas and Steve are playing, just 3 a.m. in a dark room for 400 people in New York? Is that also a thing that's...
That's really cool.
Rings a bell?
Yeah. Yeah, well, actually, normally, like, if we're playing in, for instance, New York, which said, then probably the people know us because they buy tickets.
Yeah.
But actually, it would be very nice to just have a like a big fat underground set from 3 till 4 a.m., 3 till 5 or 3 till 6, and then just blast some big fat tech house, techno. That would be actually really nice.
A nice concept.
It's not able. It's not. No. We're not doing it anymore. Actually, we started playing as more kind of techie, right?
Definitely, yeah. That's the stuff we also produce in the beginning, and sometimes we look back at the music that we created, and we're like, yeah, why not implement it in something that we're doing right now? Yeah. So I mean, we still do some groovy releases. There's actually a couple scheduled right now.
Yeah,
will be some on the album also.
Yeah, true.
Cool. So yeah, so we haven't lost that vibe completely.
No.
Would be cool if there was like a Lucas and Steve party, because I know these parties are going on in the UK. Okay, Lucas and Steve are DJing, but they're playing anything except dance music.
That's
a beat.
Where is it?
Quite a challenge.
Where is it?
Only reggae music, maybe.
Sure, why not?
Well, actually, I think we would play like really, really deep tech house or techno. I think we I would love that.
Or yeah. Tino Martin, the Dutch singer. Yeah. Also be fun.
Also,
Tino Martin exclusive set. That would be crazy. Especially in the UK. They would love that.
They would love it there, yeah.
So for the next 6 months, what are you guys up to? If the world is still in crisis, I think we're not flying for the next months.
Yeah.
Although not massively.
Mm-hmm. No.
I mean, no parties?
Still, there's some stuff going on. There are some parties being scheduled, taking in mind the rules and the government directions for COVID. There are some of those that are going to happen. There are some online parties and stuff like that. So it's not that we're doing nothing at all in the weekend. But for the rest, it's kind of as we already said, we're actually looking forward to that. It's just, continuing producing. We're really in a good vibe right now with that. So, I mean, if it's going to be all there is for the upcoming 6 months,
for once, we can attempt on birthdays, like for family and friends. So that's also something that you can enjoy, right? It's just fun to hang out with friends. The restaurants are getting open right now. So, yeah.
We were both surprised that
Steve, your hair grew so long. Didn't see you for like 2 years.
Who are you again?
We're actually surprised that we still have friends, actually. Yeah. It's amazing.
Bro, you family? Yeah. Seriously?
Yeah, well, what Lucas said, actually, it's just like we have 6 months now. Maybe, I don't know how long it will take.
Maybe a year.
Maybe a year. But let's enjoy all the things that we have right now. Instead of
I have some friends who moved to Ibiza last week. They're going to rent out some houses and stuff. But I think when will the clubbing season on Ibiza will be like in full gear? Maybe 2021, but it can be 2022. That scares me.
That scares me too, man. Why did you say that?
I'm so sorry, because I was thinking, because of course all the airlines are saying, we have the best ventilation systems, because we have the air coming into the cabin and we they have all kinds of good systems for that. So I think clubs also need maybe new ventilation systems
stuff,
and air conditioning.
True, but I think in the end, it will all depend on the vaccine. Yeah. I mean, if as soon as there is a vaccine, then I don't think it will be about like ventilation systems anymore. Although, it would be a good idea anyway. Yeah. Some clubs are horribly ventilated, so why not?
Or just instead of, how do you say the cannons with the H2O? No?
CO2 cannons.
Yeah.
That you disinfect everybody, that you put disinfectants in those cannons. So why everybody wants a dance floor.
I see possibilities here.
Yeah. There's a lot of creativity going on in this room.
Maybe some aspirin for the people that are already ill.
that would be very handy, man.
Yeah. Hey, but I saw like clubs in China are starting to get open, right? I saw it on Instagram.
We got sent some videos of people already partying in Shanghai and everything. So stuff like that is already happening.
A full moon party, Koh Phangan in Thailand, in outdoors.
Yeah.
Then you can party.
Yeah.
Wow.
Let's hope for the
why
best.
Why are we here?
Hey, if you guys go to Ibiza and you go clubbing, Lucas and Steve, you're having some spare time. Which clubs are your favorite, and who would you want to see on the decks then? If just a night out with friends.
Yeah, night out with friends
on Ibiza.
Yeah, I would. I will never go to Ibiza and not go to Ushuaia.
It's impossible.
Yeah. We just love that place. It's always a good vibe. Always great.
And it's really nice to play, because we did a couple of opening sets for Avicii and Axwell Ingrosso.
Yeah,
I saw you guys performing for Axel and Ingrosso. We were there with the dance department team, so that was
nice. Yeah,
that was a good night.
That was a good night.
It was a bit late, but it was a good night.
But that's the thing, you know, if you just need to pick one club, then I think it would still be Ushuaia. It's great, it's huge, it's got some, I sound like Donald Trump now. It's great, it's huge.
It's great, no,
but it's an amazing place to be.
It's the best thing we did.
Yeah.
And Ushuaia is my favorite club. Yeah, it's great.
Did you ever been there? No, I did not, but it's really good.
Yeah, but it's really great, yeah. You will experiment a little bit with that.
Well, that's what I'm thinking right now. I have a brainwave. You guys, as producers, have so much time on your hands. So the producers of Designer Drugs also have a lot of time on their hands.
That's true. There will be some new shit going on.
2021, it's like ecstasy, you know, in the new wave. Somebody's inventing the perfect drug that is healthy and makes you go on for 12 hours.
Yeah, and then they're going to put that in the CO2 cannons alongside
this is
the
going
vaccine.
Crazy, yeah.
That would work perfectly against COVID-19, COVID-20, COVID-21, and COVID-22.
And COVID-CO2.
And COVID-CO2. That would be a perfect world to me.
Yeah, that would be very nice, actually.
Okay, cool. Guys. No,
I have to say, Ushuaia is really, really nice. Yeah, it's a nice club, and especially it has a special feeling to us because it was our first international gig in Ushuaia. So the first time we went outside the Netherlands where we did the first DJ set, that was in Ushuaia. That was sick.
That is true. That was crazy. Yeah. And the day after EMF, Electro Music Festival in France, which was insane also. Yeah. So that's it. It will always have a special place in our hearts.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a nice island to just chill out.
Yeah, it's
relax.
Really, really nice. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, Lucas and Steve, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
And when was the album due to be released?
It will be.
These are the seconds for perfect self promotion. So
Well, it will be in the last quarter of the year. Yeah. So we're still working on it.
Is there a working title?
Yes. Yeah. Album number one. Is the working title.
Album number one.
No, but you will be the first one if we can announce everything. You will be the first.
We're going to play it in Dance Department, of course.
Thank you. That would be great, man.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
Lucas and Steve on Dance Department backstage.
538. Dance Department.
Backstage, Dennis
Breyer. Connect with Dance Department online on Facebook, Mixcloud, and 538.nl/Dance Department.